Well, today we're in week five of our six-week series going through our six core values. And each week we've been focusing on one particular value, asking ourselves, are these things that we really do value? Because as I said before, we can't say we value something if we don't really value it, right? And so far we've taken a look at four of our values. We started off 5 weeks ago with the first core value, God's Word. We talked about just the importance of reading His Word, knowing His Word, understanding His Word. That's when we put out the Bible reading plans. And if you haven't got one of those, I encourage you, you can grab them off the back table. But they're a plan to help us know His Word, to understand His Word, to read His Word. Then the next week we talked about the fact that we value worship. And again, that it's far more than just singing, but that our lives should be worship to the Lord, that our lives should be living sacrifices to God. Then next we talked about the fact that we value obedience, right? If we love Him, then we'll obey Him. We will walk in obedience. And then last week we talked about the fact that we value people, right? That God created each and every one of us. And He values all people. And so we, if God values all people, we should value all people. And so, again, I just encourage you, if you've missed any of these messages, you can listen to them online. And the reason I challenge you to do that is because I think it's important that if you call Dallas Four Square Church your home, that you know and understand what we value. And so if you missed any of these, I just encourage you, go listen to them online. So this week, we're continuing now with our next core value, which is that we value authenticity. And I believe that this is one of the values that people struggle with more than any of the other ones. I also believe that it's the lack of authenticity that has caused so many problems for the Christian church as a whole. Now, the Christian church as a whole, I mean churches across America as a whole, haven't done a very good job of allowing people to be authentic. We've heard it said, right, come as you are. But for many, it's really come as you are as long as you're not too messed up, right? I mean, literally, that's kind of how the church is, you know, yeah, come as you are, but we don't need to see the bad stuff, okay? You know, put on that front, right? Put on that mask, basically, is what we've almost been encouraged to do. But that's not Jesus's theology, right? When Jesus says, come as you are, He truly means, come as you are, with all the gook, with all the bad stuff. Come as you are. Now, I want to start off this morning by reading to you some scenarios that I think will help us understand why authenticity is one of our core values. Now, the first is about a guy named Joe. Now, everybody likes Joe, okay? Especially all the men, because he is a man's man. You know what I'm talking about? Ooh, yeah, right? He is a man's man. Joe was a military man, all right? And he's filled with stories of manly conquest. But when Joe is all alone, his heart is filled with emptiness because of his inability to sustain long-term relationships. His marriage only lasted 6 months. And over the years, he's driven away everyone close to him with his short temper. But on Sunday, when a friend asks Joe how things are going, he quickly responds by saying, great, I've never been better. Well, sitting in the row behind Joe is a woman named Jane with her husband Ken. Now, Jane's life is a mess. Her drinking problem is out of control, and her husband Ken refuses to cover for her anymore. Everyone around her sees her problem, but they all pretend like everything's just fine. It's a classic case of denial. Every Sunday, Jane and her family dress in their Sunday best. They go to church as this perfect family. Everyone at church looks at Jane and her family as the model family. They look so perfect, but they're not. Joe and Jane have both learned that church is a place for people who have it all together, right? Isn't that why you come here? Because you have it all together? That's what church is for, right? And so they put on this front, they put on this facade, but inside, both of them are dying. Now, even though these scenarios were made up scenarios, the reality is there are churches all throughout our nation today that are filled with these stories. Even throughout our community that are filled with these same stories. Because the world has taught us that image is everything, right? That what counts is how you look or the impression that you make. And so the Christian community has perfected the fine art of faking it, right? The fine art of the double life. But if being part of the Christian community is merely putting on a good front or pretending to be something we're not, then we really got to ask the question, why are we here? What are we really doing? You see, these scenarios, this model of church that I've been describing is not the church that Jesus has called us to be. It's not the church that he's called any of the churches in our world, our community around us to be. We are called to be people of authenticity. Now, if you were to look at our values page on the website, you'll find the scripture that we have there for this value is Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 13. If you have your Bible, you can open to that scripture this morning. That's going to be our main scripture. And in this scripture, Paul is addressing believers as he's challenging them to live the lives that God has called them to live. And this is what he says beginning in verse 8. Ephesians 5, 8 through 13 says this: "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light." Now, it starts off saying you were once darkness, but now you are light. And Paul is addressing something that he was talking about actually even in the previous chapter in Ephesians 4, the reality that we are new creations in Christ, right? In chapter 4 of Ephesians, Paul tells us to put off the old and put on the new. And so to step out of this life that we've been living, this life of darkness, where we once lived without Christ, and then to begin to live in the light as we learn to live authentic lives for Christ. But here's the thing. Oftentimes, instead of shedding the old, what do? We just hide it, right? We just kind of cover it up. Instead of living the authentic life that God has called us to live, we live these double lives. My son Toby is a huge comic fan. He loves Marvel and DC Comics, superheroes especially. And the interesting thing about these superheroes is that most of them, all right, except for Iron Man, I think, most of them live these double lives, right? They have their superhero life over here, and then their secret identity that nobody knows over here, right? You guys know what I'm talking about, following comics here? Now, the sad thing is, many of us, we live our lives the same way, right? We have our superhero Christian life over here, but then we have our secret identity life that nobody knows about over here. And the sad thing is we don't realize the damage that secret identity, that double life, causes us. You see, the reason authenticity is one of the core values of our church is because the lack of authenticity has been destroying the church. Most of you know that I am a huge Toby Mac fan, okay? And before that, I was a huge DC Talk fan, which is the band that Toby from Toby Mac was in the band, DC Talk. They have this old song called "What If I Stumble." It's a great song. "What if I stumble? What if I fall?" But the interesting thing is, before that song starts on their album, there's a little clip of a man by the name of Brendan Manning, and he says these words. He says, "The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, then walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable." Powerful words, right? And I remember the first time I heard that, I'm like, whoa. I hope I'm not one of those Christians that's causing people to walk away from the church, right? You see, one of the most common answers you'll hear from people saying why they don't go to church is what? It's because the church is full of hypocrites. That's right. That's one of the most common answers. I'm not going to church. Church is just full of hypocrites. Now, the reality is, we're all hypocrites, okay? It doesn't matter where you go, whether that's the church or here or there, there's hypocrites all around us, but it's true, the church is full of hypocrites, and that's a place where we shouldn't have hypocrites, right? And that's why authenticity is one of our core values. You see, my desire as a pastor is that when people walk in these doors, they see real people, right? Not fake people, not these facades, not these masks. They see real people, that they see a real pastor, okay? Because I'm a real person. I'm lifted up right here so that I can see everybody, but we're at the same level, okay? There's nothing different about me than you. And I want people to see that we're real. Christians don't put us on this pedestal. Being a Christian doesn't make us better than anyone else. We're real people. And I hope that when they walk in this door, they see people who are living or doing their best to live authentic lives for Christ. People who aren't just talking the talk, but that are actually walking the walk. Now, when I say that, here's the thing. Does that mean that we have to be perfect? That I just want a bunch of perfect people that are doing everything right, so when people walk in those doors, it's not fake, it's real, you know? No. It doesn't mean we have to be perfect, because we're not. Guess what? I know this is going to blow your minds. I'm not perfect. Oh, can you believe that? Thank you for those honest people out there. Joanne's seen me at my worst, so she's... But none of us are perfect. You see, it doesn't mean we have to be perfect. It just means we're honest, right? It means we don't pretend we have it all together when we don't. It means we remove the mask that we're hiding behind. We don't say we're fine when we're not fine. We don't say better than ever when we're not better than ever, right? It means simply that we're people that love Jesus, and that we're seeking to live the lives that He's called us to live, but we're also honest when we make mistakes. We're honest when we mess up. We're honest when we fail. It's being people that don't, again, constantly say, "Oh, I'm good. I'm fine," right? You've heard me say, man, that's the F word in this church, okay? Don't say you're fine if you're not fine, right? Let's be honest with people. And if you're going to ask someone how they are, this is another part of it. If you're going to ask someone how they are, then be expected to sit there and listen how they are, okay? You can say good morning, and that's fine, good morning, and you say good morning back. But if you're going to say, how are you doing? If we're people of authenticity, then that means we really want to hear. Because some of us, how's it going? Oh, man, you want to, oh, yeah, that's great, I got to go, we'll see you later, right? I want this to be a place where we can be authentic, where we can take off the masks. We can come as we are, we can be honest with people if we're not being fine. Now, here's the thing, the problem is, this can be a scary thing. Removing the masks, what's behind that mask? It can be a scary thing, right? I want to just take a few moments this morning to just talk about two fears that I think keep us from taking off the mask, keep us from truly being authentic. And the first is this, the fear of being exposed. See, oftentimes we're afraid that people will realize We're not the superhero Christians that we say we are, right? We're afraid that people might realize that we have issues, that we have failures. And it's this fear of exposure that keeps us from being authentic with one another. Now, we don't mind when our strengths are exposed, right? When people are like, oops, sorry, I didn't mean to lift my arm up and show off those muscles, right? You know, whatever it is. We don't mind when people see the good things about us, when the positive things are exposed. But the last thing we want is for people to see our weaknesses, right? To see our failures. And we surely don't want our insecurities or our sins exposed. What will people think about us if they see these things, if we're honest about things? But the reality we all have to understand is that all of us, okay? All of us have weaknesses and failures. Many of us sit there and we think, man, I'm the only one that struggles with this. I'm the only one. I can't tell people because they'll think I'm crazy. The reality is every one of us is saying that. And if we would just all share each other, we could be like, oh, yay, we're all messed up. Let's move on, right? But we're afraid to tell people what they might think of us. We all have weaknesses and failures. And guess what? That's okay. It's okay that we have weaknesses and failures. God knew we were going to have weaknesses and failures. And as much as we want people to think we have it all together, the reality is none of us have it all together. Jesus is the only one who had it all together, right? The reality is we all have flaws, and this is why it's so ironic that we're afraid of being exposed, right? We all need to be exposed, but yet we're afraid of being exposed. So why do we pretend that we don't? Why do we fake it? Why do we wear masks? Why do we live these double lives? Now the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:11, says, "For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them?" This is why it's easy to wear masks, because there are things in our life that are thoughts and the things that go up on in here that nobody else knows about. Now there are those physical things that may get exposed, right? That people may catch or find or see someone doing that, and that happens. But there are things up here that we can keep hidden. There are these thoughts that we don't have to let people know. As a matter of fact, in the entire universe, there's only one person who knows the truth of what's going up on in here, and that's who? That's God, right? And so we know that, and we try to keep it hidden. But here's the thing, the awesome thing, the only one that it really matters to anyways, it's God, right? And He's not surprised by anything. He knows if we really want to live authentic lives, we're going to have to let people see our weaknesses. We're going to have to be open and honest. So the question is, this fear of exposure, how do we overcome it? And I think the way we overcome this fear of exposure is by walking in the light. In verse 13 of Ephesians 5, which we read, it says this, "But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light." You see, it's realizing that God isn't exposing these things to embarrass us or to even bring shame upon us, right? We have this idea that, man, God wants to expose these things and He's just going to destroy us. That's not the God that we serve. He's not trying to embarrass us or to bring shame upon us. He wants to expose these things so that we can deal with them and begin to truly live the authentic lives that He's called us to live. And as we live authentically and allow God's light to expose those things in our own life, it allows us to walk in freedom. Because why are we living this double life, man? We are bondage, right? But when we're able to give them up, then we can walk in freedom. And the cool thing is oftentimes our authenticity helps others to begin to walk in the light. I want to share a story with you. I know I've used this before at times because it's just a great illustration. But I've shared the double life that I had in high school. Because I was that double life in high school. You know, my parents thought I was this good Christian kid, and my youth pastor and my kids, people at my church and my pastor, man, they thought I was this great young Christian kid. And yes, I had it all together at church. But at home, I was struggling with things. When no one else was around, I wasn't that perfect kid that people thought I was. And I'll be honest, I struggled in high school with pornography. It was something that it ate me up. And as much as I wanted to come clean and tell someone, I couldn't. Why? Because I was afraid of how exposing those dark areas in my life might affect me. You know, people think of me as this good Christian. What do they think of me now? And so I was afraid to expose these things in my life. I was afraid of what people might think. It was interesting. Shortly after I graduated, I started going to this college-age group at my church. And in that group, I had met a guy that I'd come pretty close with. We hung out all the time. And one evening, we were hanging out at his apartment and kind of started reading the Bible. We were really trying to challenge each other in that. And he looked at me and he asked me if I'd pray for him. And I said, sure, what do you want me to pray about? And he started to get real serious. And it was then he began to kind of tear up a little bit. And he began to share with me how he had been struggling with pornography. And here's the thing, I hate to say this, but as he was pouring out his heart in tears, I felt this excitement well up inside of me. And it wasn't because I was happy that he had been struggling with these things, but it was because I felt like this is my opportunity to get it off my chest. This is my opportunity now to share it with someone else, right? And I remember beginning to tell him how I had been dealing with these same things, and there we were, kind of weeping and crying and praying together over our failures. But it was his authenticity and his willingness to confess these things to me that opened the door for me to be authentic and to allow the weaknesses in my own life to be exposed. And I think that's a lot of the church, right? Like I said earlier, we're sitting there going, man, I don't want anybody to know. I don't want anybody to know. But man, if we would just all be honest, it would help all of us out. Really? You struggle? I do too, man. Hey, let's help each other. Let's encourage each other. Let's come together, right? But we're afraid of that exposure. But we have to bring it into the light. The two of us, after that time, man, we went to our college pastor. We talked to him, and it was a turning point in my life of beginning to realize what it meant to be authentic, to be real. And since then, I've had struggles off and on. When I was in the military, I fell hard, but it was through that and through even being exposed that I was able to be authentic and I was able to be real. Bottom line is, if we allow the fear of being exposed to keep us from removing our mask, then we'll never experience the authentic life that God has for each of us, that He's called us to live. Now, the second fear that I think keeps us from taking off the mask, there's the fear of exposure, but then the next part, there's the fear of rejection, right? And I know we've experienced this a lot in the church, and that's why we're so afraid, right? We don't want to let people see the real us because we're afraid that they might not like us. They might kick us out of the church even, maybe, you know, because we've seen that. But Proverbs 29:5 says this, "The fear of human opinion disables." The fear of human opinion disables. Think about that for a moment. How often do we allow the opinion of others to affect what we do or how we live? We spend a good portion of our lives trying to earn the acceptance of others, right? We care so much about their opinion that it affects how we dress, how we talk, right? The kind of car we drive, the houses we buy. These things affect how and what we do. The fear of human opinion can paralyze us because we're so afraid what they're going to think of us. Why do we fear the opinions of other people? Often people we don't even know. And I think if we're truly honest with ourselves, it's because We all have a deep desire to be loved, right? In fact, we don't just have a desire to be loved. We actually need to be loved, I believe. I believe we were created by God to be loved by God and to be loved by one another. It's one of the basic needs of our lives to experience that love. And because of this, we do our best to what? To make sure we're not unloved. Does that make sense? Right? We do our best to make sure that people will love us. We don't want to be unloved. So we want to impress them. We want to make them think we're something we're not. It drives us to these great extremes where we put on these masks and we do whatever we need to do to be loved and accepted. But we need to understand that putting on a mask or living a false life isn't the answer to that need for love, because that's just false love. People are loving something that's not even real, right? Because that's not who we are. The answer for our fear of rejection is to trust in God's love. I love in Daniel 10:9, when God is speaking to Daniel, he says, "Don't be afraid, for you are deeply loved by God. Be at peace, take heart, and be strong." The reality is we're going to experience rejection at times in our lives. Whether we wear a mask or don't wear a mask, right? We're going to experience rejection. But you see, God's love isn't based on conditions. And though people may reject us, God will never reject us, because His love isn't a conditional love. His love is unconditional love, right? We don't have to put on masks to be loved by God. We don't have to clean ourselves up before we come to God. He says, come as you are. Because the reality is, He sees beyond the masks anyway. Who are we hiding from? Maybe people, but God sees beyond the mask. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our failures. And guess what? He still loves us anyways. That's huge. Think about it. Think about your failures. Think about your greatest, worst things you've done in your life. God knows it. Maybe there's things there that you, man, I've never told anybody. God knows it. And guess what? He still loves you anyways. Listen to Romans 5:8. It pretty much tells it to us. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That one blows my mind. It's not like, well, you know, because this is our thing, right? You get your life together, and then you can come to church, and then we'll work together with you, right? That's not what God did. While we were yet sinners, He died for us. When we were out there in the muck, in the miry clay, when we were doing things that we shouldn't be doing, He still saw value in us, and He died for us. God knows that the masks will only keep us from becoming who He created us to be. Because these masks and these things we put on, they're not us. They're not who God's called us to be. And they're keeping us from being who He's called us to be. The secret identities, they hold us back, right? He wants us to remove the masks and begin to walk in authenticity. God's desire is for His church to be a place of authenticity. That this church, that Dallas Foursquare Church, would be a place of authenticity. A place where people can truly come as they are, right? And here's the thing, they can come as they are, not with the fear of being exposed, but with the opportunity to be real and honest and to give our failures to Him, right? To let His light come over them, to expose them and take care of them. And we can come as we are, not with the fear of rejection, but with the knowledge and understanding of God's unconditional love, regardless of what those failures are. You see, my heart and desire is that this church would be a safe place. When we put that we want to be an authentic church, that was the thought in my mind, was that we want to be a safe place where people can come, right? That when people walk in those doors out there, they can come as they are without judgment, without rejection. And here's something I can guarantee you. You'll get that from me, okay? I can guarantee you as your pastor that when people walk through those doors, you can come in here, be as you are without judgment and without rejection. And let me say this. If you're sitting here and going, I can't guarantee that, then maybe you need to ask yourself, is this the church that God's called you to? And I just say that because this is the value that we believe in. And if you're sitting here going, certain people, man, I don't know if I can do that. Well, that's who we're called to be. And if that's not who you are, then maybe you need to find a church that fits who you are, because this is one of our core values. This is a place where God wants us to love and accept people right where they're at. Now, does that mean we want them to come in and just stay where they're at? No. No, but here's the thing. If we don't let people come in here who are in the middle of sin and struggles in their lives, then where can they go? Right? The church should be a safe place for people who are struggling to come and to figure out who they are in Christ. And it's not our job to change them. All right, you come in, but you got to get it all together. Blah, blah, blah. This, and this. And then, no, okay? We don't operate in that way. We say, come as you are, and we're going to preach the word. We're going to allow God to come and move, and we're going to let God do the work, right? Because He's the one that changes people, not us. It's Him doing the work, but if we don't allow people to come, then how is His Spirit going to move and do what He wants to do in and through their lives? And so when we say we're an authentic church, that's our desire, that we want to be a church who values authenticity. Number one is we want us to learn how to live lives authentically, not just talk the talk, but to really walk the walk, right? To live the lives that God has called us to live, to shed the old and begin to live the new. But then it's also meaning that as we're doing that, we're going to let other people come through those doors that haven't shed the old yet, and we're going to still love them and meet them where they're at and let God do what He wants to do in their lives, to challenge them and help them become who He's called them to be. That's the life of authenticity in our church. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, that You meet us where we're at. Because even I know last week I shared a little bit of my testimony and the struggles and challenges that I went through, and You met me right where I was at, Lord. And You brought me out of those things and helped me begin to live the life that You called me to live and brought me to the place where I am today, Lord. And that could have never happened if You didn't let me come as I was, Lord. And so we want to be a church that allows people to come as they are so that, Lord, You can come and move in their life and that You can change them and help them be transformed by the renewing of their minds into who You have called them to be. And here's the thing too, Lord, we know that that's a process. I think part of the church's problem over the years is that they try to make it happen immediately. They want people to immediately go from here to here. And Lord, that's not reality. Yes, You can do the miraculous, and I've seen You take people from here to over here. But a lot of times, Lord, it's the journey and the process that we have to go through. And it's the ups and downs and the challenges of life. And Lord, we're going to continue as we're on this journey, have those slip-ups and those struggles and those challenges. And we want every person that's on that journey to know that this is a safe place to come and to be real, where when we make mistakes, we come and we wrap our arms around them and we say, hey, we've all made mistakes. Let's move forward. Let's continue to seek You and be the authentic Christians that You've called us to be, Lord. We don't want to be the hypocrites that people talk about, Lord. Help us not to be people who judge those, especially outside the church. That's not our job, Lord. Our job is to worry about us. Our job is to live the life You've called us to live and to faithfully love those around us. And so, Lord, help us to be authentic Christians, Lord, who are doing our best to live the life that You've called us to live, who aren't just faking it, Lord. When we mess up, when we fail, that we're honest, that we're real, that we come before You, that we come before our friends, that we ask for prayer, that we ask for help, Lord. Because it's those kind of things that help sharpen us and help us to become the men and women of God that You created us to be. And that's what it's about, Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you for this word. May you allow it to penetrate our hearts where we're at. Lord, we pray that you help us to reach out to those around us, Lord. Who are our friends, Lord, that need to come as they are? But maybe we haven't even been willing to ask them because we're afraid of where they're at. But Lord, you went and you met people where they're at and you brought them to you. And so, Lord, we want to be that church. We want to be a church that is authentic, that is real, that allows people, Lord, to become who you've called them to be. And in that, Lord, in authenticity, I'm realizing more and more that's messy, Lord. And I know we live in a world and a society we don't like mess. We want everything to be perfect and to fit in perfectly, Lord. I know, as someone that's obsessive compulsive and wants my chairs perfect, Lord, I know that mentality. But Lord, life is messy, and you're okay with that, and you're willing to come and to work with our messiness, Lord, to help us be transformed into the people that you've called us to be, Lord. We just thank you and we just praise you again for this word. May you allow it to penetrate our hearts and challenge each of us where we're at, Lord. We just give it to you this morning. We just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.